I am pleased to be joined by our next guest, State Senator Joseph Griffo. Mr. Griffo, good morning.
Good morning, Mark. How are you?
I'm all right. I might have a heart attack today. My blood pressure is probably way up. I'm just yelling all over the place.
You've made a transition from shock radio to news radio. So it's,
I know. It's just
you're going through a lot.
Hey, are you going to be in town for the World Series of Botch?
I hope to be there. I hope to stop by. It's a busy weekend. There are a lot of things. It's summer. There seems to be a lot of things happening over a very short period, obviously.
Yeah.
We all take advantage of the good weather. And you know, this weekend, it's the World Series of Bocce in Rome. I think the Bavarian Festival is going on.
Sure is.
At the Manicore, the Mont Carmel Festival in Utica. So there'll be a lot of things happening over the weekend for people to participate in.
There was a big rally yesterday in front of the state building. Downtown Utica. What was your take on what's your take on this whole situation? And this isn't in your district. It's very important to know that this facility is not in your district.
It's strange, again, how district lines are drawn, because while it is not in my district, it is in the district of Senator Valesky. Obviously, I have a concern because it's in the community in which I reside.
Right.
And I'm disappointed in the news, in the decision that had been made. We are doing several things. There's an effort underway to work collectively with all levels of government, from the county executive, Mr. Pacenti, to the mayor of Rome, Jim Brown, along with Assemblywoman Tenney, myself, Senator Valesky. We're all, many county legislators and local officials, working with union officials there to try to put a collective group together that we can do several things. Number one, to inquire as to the method and the process and request the information on how the decision was made. Secondly, to ask for a delay in starting the clock, because as we've talked to a number of the individuals who are employed there, there's some processes going on that obviously they have to make decisions on. So we've asked that that be delayed for some time, until we get an opportunity to evaluate the information, and then finally to make this appeal to the governor to say, would you consider reconsidering this based on the following?
Right.
So that's where we are right now. But the most important thing in the end, while we're doing all of that, is to be mindful of the jobs and the impact, and to do what we can to secure those jobs in this area. And that's an ongoing effort, too. We've had a number of communications. I personally have spoken to the Commissioner of Corrections, to the Lieutenant Governor, to the Governor's Chief of Staff over the last 10 days during this process. And I can't say that we've accomplished a lot, unfortunately, in getting them to speak to the issue and to change their minds. But at least we have their attention, and I want them to understand that we are going to continue to be engaged and that we're going to continue to work collectively. And we're going to do everything we can possibly to have this decision reconsidered. Important thing to note here, Mark, because there's some, obviously, when you get into a situation like this, because not only does it have an economic impact, but it has an emotional impact on the community and the individuals affected, is first, you know, the governor has the ability to make this decision. Some people are saying that the legislature gave him this authority, shouldn't have.
Nope.
It's not true. The governor always has had this ability.
Yep.
Continues to have and will always have the opportunity to make decisions within the executive branch and the Department of Corrections as part of the executive branch.
Yes.
The only thing that was done differently is there was a requirement that the governor give 365-day notice of any facility he had designated for closure. And there have been facilities closed over the last several years. That was changed to 60-day notice. And the reason for that was because sometimes when you have abuses in the system, it leads to a public outcry based on someone's initiative. In this case, the governor took advantage of what happened in Tryon Youth Camp to our east, where there was no inmates or clients in that facility, and yet the staff were all working there.
Well,
and so he went there with all cameras, and everybody said, how outrageous is this? When
right.
The state needs to save money, that everybody's working there, but there's nobody incarcerated there. So that led him, and he had public opinion with him. So he came back to the legislature and says, you people now have to change this because it's 12 months, and 12 months means we should have been able to work through that, in my opinion. Unions should have been working with management to say, when there's nobody there, then you got to reassign staff or whatever. But because everybody just did what was on the books, he was able to take advantage of that and call attention to that. And then there was a public outcry to say, we need to save money. You're cutting all these other programs, and yet this is another way.
Yeah, wasteful government.
Wasteful government. So because of that, he then proposed a 60-day notification period as opposed to a 365-day. What we got in return for that, because the legislature did give him that authority of 60 days instead of 365 days, is economic benefits to communities that would be affected by any closure, which never existed before.
Mm-hmm.
That would include a $10 million grant to a community, as well as job incentives like tax credits for job creation, things of that nature. So there are a variety of economic incentives now that were never in place that are now going to be given to communities who are impacted ultimately by a final decision. So where do you appeal? There's no appeal process.
Yeah.
You appeal to the individual that made a decision. I liken it to children and parents. When a parent says something to a child, they can always appeal saying, like, I don't like this, you know.
Yep.
Yeah, and we've all done that. The same holds true here. He made the decision. So we can appeal to him even though there's no formal process. Now, whether or not that appeal will be effective or whether or not our arguments will resonate, that remains to be seen because he is committed to a closure of the facility. Another of several facilities, he's committed to a cost savings. Now, we've even given him different ideas on how to achieve them savings, such as reorganizing the Department of Correctional Services. I think they should be reorganized. They're too top-heavy.
Yeah.
They could save significant money there. Another problem we have is people are thinking that, well, he wanted a task force. Maybe the legislature said no to the task force. Well, the reason they said no to the task force, it was not like a commission, like the BRAC Commission or the Berger Commission, which was binding and objective in its analysis. This would have been a task force like he has several others that would have just advised him on what to do. In the end, he still would have made the decision. And in my opinion, that would have provided cover for any decision that executive would make.
Exactly.
So in this case, I think it's better to know that he made the decision, and now we have to hold him accountable for that decision, and we can appeal to him regarding that decision.
They talk about wanting to be more efficient and safe. They just upgraded this facility not too long ago. They're consolidating services there, and now they're shutting it down. We're central New York for a reason, because we're centrally located to all the rest of the jails and the prisons.
See, the problem is, and this is something I did not support also, is there's a philosophic problem here, because I do believe you need capacity in prisons. I do believe people should be put in prison when they commit a crime, but there are many in the legislature that disagree. And last year they reformed the so-called Rockefeller drug laws.
Yep.
They liberalized them so that put more people out of prison and on the streets. I voted against that. And now that gives him an opportunity to say, well, we have all this excess capacity. But I don't think that's looking forward with a vision to know that we have to be prepared to deal with the criminal justice system and crimes that will be committed in society. And how are we going to deal with that? And people who commit the crime should do the time.
Yeah.
So to me, it's poor planning too when you begin to close these facilities now because you might have excess capacity, but in 5 or 10 years you may still need that capacity, so you may be going back to reopen or start new facilities. And that's what's crazy, and that's what goes to your point. You know, you're investing, you're putting millions of dollars, just like they did at the airbase.
Yeah.
They built a whole new officers and non-commissioned officers club, and then a year later they closed the base. And I think that's why people lose confidence in government and the bureaucracy, and when they try to make these type of investments and decisions. I'm hopeful that we're going to make this appeal and that he will reconsider. But I know that's going to be a very difficult thing for him to do, because he's the type of individual, when he makes his mind up, he pretty much sticks to it.
People first. It's the People First campaign with Governor Cuomo. We want to be transparent. We want to cut waste. We want to be ethical. I don't see where any transparency is coming through right now.
Well, I think that's a good point. I mean, that there should have been a really specific process and criteria that were used, and people could have been ranked. And that's why if you went to a Berger Commission, which looked at hospitals, or the BRAC Commission, while there's flaws in that process, it's at least more transparent.
Mm-hmm.
There's more opportunity to make a case on merit. So here, I'm sure political factors entered in, geography, politics, as well as age and resources and a number of other factors that they're going to use and cite. But it's unfortunate, because He did say this when he would, and actually we all asked him this, because traditionally he would just go and close prisons upstate and in predominantly Republican areas.
Yeah.
So this time he went and closed it downstate, upstate, Republican, Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result of that, you know, this facility now is on the recommendation for closure.
How fast is this all going to come down? I mean, we're talking days, right?
Like 60 days.
60. It's.
So that's why we're asking for a delay, which he has the opportunity and the ability to do if he agrees, and we'll continue to press that case also.
And a lot of the workers are starting to get their transfer orders already.
Well, that'll be, I think, at the end of this week or the beginning of next week, and that's something that we're going to again ask that they stall or stay for a period till all of this can come. I think he's starting to feel pressure, though, too, because originally these facilities were targeted for October 1st, and the ones in the city were targeted for December 1st. I'm hearing now that the ones in the city have been accelerated to October 1st,
too. Of course, yeah. God forbid, you know. You don't want to show any favoritism for the city.
Well, actually, that works against the city's advantage, though, right now, because the city was going to have extra time, and now they won't.
Now they won't, yeah. Right. So now they're
kind of. But I think it's motivated because they want to get this behind them, and it'll be done. And so we're mounting an energized and aggressive effort. But again, I think people have to understand, despite our best efforts, in the end, it's his decision.
What can people, we're speaking with State Senator Joseph Grifo. What can people do to help you guys, the politicians?
I think they need to continue to call the governor's office, and you'll give them a phone number where they can call to continue to flood his office with emails and phone calls and try to do anything they can to just support the effort in that regard, and ask when they do that respectfully that they look at everything on merit and that they judge facilities based upon that and to reconsider based upon the information that's available and make an assessment. Nobody's opposed to saving money.
No.
All of us as residents of the state of New York agree that we need to do what we can to save money, that we need to eliminate waste, fraud, and abuse, that we need to do a number of other things to change the culture and to redefine and redirect our state.
We just got to do it in a responsible way.
Well, we need to do it in a responsible way and in a open, transparent way, and in a way where when you make a decision, if it's not the right decision, you reconsider it.
State Senator Joseph Grifo, thank you for joining us. It's been a pleasure.
Always a pleasure to be here, Mark, and I'm sure we'll talk soon.